her that is only used in one other place in the whole Bible. Have you ever seen Proverbs 31? It says, a woman of valor who can find? Well, that's the only time that word in Hebrew, chayil, a woman of valor, it means a soldier. And the only other place that word, chayil, is found other than like a soldier in the army, Boaz meets her and says, I've heard you are a woman of soldierly qualities. You are an eshet chayil. And I've heard how your fierce devotion to your mother-in-law saved her from being desolate and having no one on this earth. And he says, daughter, just reap as much as you want. And as time goes by, he starts giving her more and more and more. And on the first day he met her, she fell down and said, why have I found favor? Why are you being so nice to me? I'm a Moabitess. I don't even belong here. And do you know how he answered her? He said, may the Lord reward you, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have sought refuge. And the word for wings in Hebrew is the same word as the corner of a prayer shawl. The corner of a garment in Hebrew is the same word as wings. And Boaz says, may God spread the wing of his garment over you because you have loved your Jewish mother-in-law this much. And he starts giving her more and more grain, and she starts going back with her apron full to Naomi. And Naomi says, well, who was so nice to you? This isn't a normal day of gleaning. He gave her so much, it was ridiculous. And she goes, his name is Boaz. And Naomi goes, he's our relative. He's a close relative. If I were younger, he would have been my kinsman redeemer. And she goes, Ruth, I'm getting an idea. She says, there's a law in the Torah, Ruth. See, every word had to be established in God's law. She says, my Gentile daughter-in-law, let me tell you what the Torah says about your destiny. The Torah says that the kinsman redeemer must redeem the widow and make her his bride. He needs to do more than just give you an apron full of grain, as kind as that is. Now perfume yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor and don't let anyone see you and uncover his feet and lie down. And you'll know what to do next. Ruth obeyed her mother-in-law. Do you think that was easy? Do you know if she had been discovered, she would have looked like a prostitute? This Moabite trollop? But she wasn't. She was a godly girl. She lies down at Boaz's feet, and in the middle of the night, he's startled and wakes up and sees someone, and he says, who's there? Guess what she says to him? Spread the corner of your garment over me, Boaz. You are my kinsman redeemer. She uses the same expression that he used about her. May God spread the wing of his garment over you and cover you. And he said, bless you, my daughter. You have not run after the younger men. He said, however, there is one relative nearer than I. I must make sure that this is legal according to the law of Moses. A Moabitess reminded him of his Torah responsibilities. Remember I showed you that Zipporah had to teach Moses that if you don't circumcise your son, you're in big trouble? Well, a Moabitess quotes him the law and says, you're my kinsman redeemer. I love you and you need to marry me. She makes a demand on God's covering. She makes a demand on God's provision. And he doesn't say, how dare you? He says, bless you for doing this. So within 12 hours, he makes sure that the other nearer relative, the closer cousin probably, did not want it. Now the other cousin was about to do it. Boaz first quotes, remember I told you there were two laws, one about the property and one about the woman? Well, Boaz is so cute, he really wants to marry Ruth, you know. So first he just quotes the property law to the relative, and he says, you know, the Torah says that this poor widow needs you to redeem her property and buy the property of Elimelech. And Boaz says, if you want to redeem it, that's fine. He acts like he couldn't care less. He goes, but if you don't want to redeem the property, I'll do it, because I'm next in line. And the kinsman redeemer goes, sure, I'll buy the property. And like Columbo, Boaz says, not so fast. There's one more thing. And then he quotes the other one from Deuteronomy 25 and says, but the one other thing is, when you're buying the property, you also acquire the dead man's widow. And that would be Ruth the Moabitess. And the guy goes, I can't do it then. He goes, it will endanger my estate. Because if he had married Ruth, now Boaz was so generous he didn't care because he was in love. But the other guy said, no, I don't want to have children by her because it will endanger what I'm leaving to my family, the sons that are born after me later. Because only the firstborn belongs to the dead man's legacy. So he goes, I can't do it. So Boaz says, take off your sandal. Because in those days, the way you signed a legal contract was, such a show and tell. You take off your sandal and you give it to the one who's going to sign, you know, okay, she's yours. So they were married. And their son was the great-grandfather of King David, who was the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus Christ. So out of that one new man marriage, Ruth and Boaz, came Jesus' birth from the tribe of Judah. And even though the Torah said that a Moabite could not even enter the Lord's house for 10 generations, God honored Ruth. And he honored her because she took the grain back to her Jewish mother-in-law. And she said, your people will be my people. And so we're going to end with Ephesians. You know, the church is like Ruth. When the church says to the Jewish people and to Israel, I love you. I don't want to be a foreigner. I love your God. I love your people. I want to bless you. Spread the wing of your garment over me. And then Ruth became great. She didn't just get Boaz's generosity anymore, where he was giving her the crumbs that fell from his table. She became the owner of the whole field. And that's your inheritance as the bride of Messiah. He is your kinsman redeemer. And when you lie down with him privately in your special secret place, you curl up with Jesus. You want to get a response from him? Say, spread the corner of your garment over me, for you are my kinsman redeemer, and I am your Ruth. And I would, a crumb from your table would deliver me from anything I've ever suffered from, but I want the whole field. I want to be your bride. You say that to the Lord from your heart. You can tell him, Jill told me to say this. He'll vindicate that. He loves that demand on his anointing. Why? Because it's your inheritance. Now let's close with Ephesians. Let me find the verses. I'm so thirsty. Everything should be established many, many times in both the Old and the New Testament, right? You know, there's nothing in the New Testament that wasn't already said by God. It's renewed. And when Jesus came and died on the cross and grafted everyone in, that was the inclusion of the Gentiles on a huge, huge scale. Millions upon millions upon millions of numberless throng from the nations came into the covenant through his cross. But it was always his promise and always his covenant to graft in a people. Remember the first verse we read from Isaiah, let no foreigner say, I am excluded. That was 800 BC. The foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord will receive, it says this also in Isaiah 56, will receive a name and a memorial better than sons and daughters. Better. So in Ephesians, I'm going to read a couple verses briefly and just skip across to save time. First, I'm going to read verse Chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that's the physical Jewish people, remember that at that time you were separate from Messiah, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Because even though Isaiah wrote that, the Gentiles had never read Isaiah, so they didn't know their promises, did they? So they were foreigners to the promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And the NIV says, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. A better translation of that is, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the hostility. It wasn't the law that was abolished on the cross. It was the hostility between Jew and Gentile that was abolished, that the law created that enmity. And then if you jump to verse 19, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens or strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. And then if you look in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he starts talking about the mystery that was revealed to him, not by human smarts, but by revelation. He said, this mystery in verse 5, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by God's Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. Now look at verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Notice he doesn't say instead of Israel or replacing Israel. He says the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And so through the parable of Ruth, we see that when Boaz blessed Ruth, that was the Jewish people blessing the Gentiles and covering them with Israel's provision. But when Ruth took the grain back to Naomi, who was starving, that was the Gentiles carrying that debt back to the Jewish people who blessed her, the bride of Messiah. He has made her great and numerous and wealthy. And so the bride of Messiah needs to carry those seeds of blessing back to Israel. And God will bless you for that heart, the heart of Ruth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your mystery, the mystery of one new man in Messiah. I thank you that you've made us one. I pray that your glory and your Spirit would confirm this word in a living way, Lord, so it wouldn't be words, but it would be seeds of grain that would spring up to an enormous harvest of life in the nations, even of the whole earth. I bless this flock, the blessing of Boaz and Ruth, the blessing of Jesus. In Yeshua's name, amen.